powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for joining me. Keep your pump-up song requests coming. That was Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon, requested by Chris. If you'd like to request your pump-up song, 0433 98 11 16 on the speckled text. Tom in Seaford, maybe to answer the question that we were asking beforehand, does a ball with the air slightly less pressure in it travel further than a ball pumped up with a little extra pressure in it? 1-300-736-736, raised by Nathan Chapman. Tom in Seaford, welcome to you, Tom.
Oh, g'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Great show, as normal. Look, my physics is a bit rusty, but it's to do with forces. So the issue becomes the more resistance in the ball, the stronger the pressure. When the kick, depending on the force of the kick, the ball has more resistance at a higher pressure. Therefore, they nullify each other and it would go less. But at the same time, if the ball is too flat, it would go less. So there's an optimum level of pressure that it gets the most effective use out of the air that's compressed in there to the force that hits it. So there'd be a formula to work it out, but it would take a bit of testing. But it's to do with pressures equalising and the amount of force. That's my rough uni history of physics. But somebody might be able to go a bit further than that than me, but it's a bit subjective, but there would be a point where it becomes more effective or less effective depending on the pressure. They do a lot of the same research with golf balls. You've got to chuck in materials too. So there's quite a few factors. That's off the love top it. Of my head from...
Love it, Tom. Makes a lot of sense to me. It sounds like you've got to have that pressure just in what they call, like, I suppose, the Goldilocks zone. It's a bit like the Earth being in exactly the right place in the universe to have life. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's just luckily right in the right spot, and the pressure of the ball sounds like it has to be in that spot as well. 1-300-736-736, if you are a physics expert, I'll get you to air and you can explain it to me. But I love the way Tom did. 1-300-736-736. For Illusion Gas Log Fires, in the meantime, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com. Sam Edmund, SEN's chief reporter, been good enough to jump on the line. Welcome to you, Sam.
Pipe, good to talk to you. The Goldilocks zone, I like that. That's not a bad little term for it.
That's a nice term. Not too hot, not too cold, just the right amount of pressure, and it's this beautiful earth we're living on. It's just in the right spot. Hey, how are the CEOs and presidents meeting going? They're about to get together. What have you been able to glean from it?
They are. He stole my thunder there, Greg Swan. He's so forthcoming, isn't he? They're sitting down with Gil McLaughlin via Zoom at 2 p.m, Dwayne, so just a tick under 20 minutes now. We know they're not going to be given a return to train and play date. Unfortunately for all of us, that won't be coming now until May 11 at the earliest, given the league, as we know, is falling in line with the next national cabinet meeting in Canberra. But I wonder what other sort of things we're going to get thrown around here, Dwayne, in this meeting, because last Thursday, the clubs had another meeting with the AFL where they were presented with 20 different options. They were told by the league that they were canvassing in the way the game is set to return. That was also the same day, believe it or not, Dwayne, that they were told about hubs by the AFL for the first time in a formal sense. So make of that what you will. We know the government last week agreed to develop those national principles for sport and recreation. So that's why the major decision is pushed back. But hopefully we get some form of clarity around many other things around the game, Dwayne, because, gee, the clubs at the moment, I can tell you, lots of intrigue around the soft cap and what it might look like, list sizes and what they might look like, and almost as importantly as anything, what the second-tier competition looks like. So we'll keep tabs on this Zoom meeting between the presidents, the CEOs, and Gillon McLaughlin, which takes place at 2 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be really intriguing. There'll be a lot of stuff that comes from that. What do you make of Greg Swan talking about Twin Waters and Royal Pines golf course resorts being maybe a possibility in Queensland for groups of teams to be able to house themselves so they can go and train and walk across the road when it comes to Carrara, train at Metricon Stadium, walk back, have a round of golf and head of the pool. You like that idea for a month?
Oh, geez, it sounds all right, doesn't it? You'd almost be wishing the games don't resume and you can just sit in your quarantine hub there and play a bit of golf. But look, 20 different options. I mean, there's no right or wrong option, essentially. I mean, and don't you love the byproduct of all this, Dwayne, which has been the lobbying from various clubs and various club officials about why their backyard most deserves to have a quarantine hub? It's been a fascinating little subplot. But speaking to one club, funnily enough, this morning, a Melbourne-based club, he was saying Melbourne's the best place. He said three AFL grounds equipped with signage, all the LED set up for sponsors, etc. You could play three games a day, for example, so you could play in the three different time slots that we normally have on a Saturday when the season's up in a more traditional sense. Commentators probably calling from the studio like you anyway, Dwayne, and there's a stack of training grounds, VFL venues and the like, so each club could have its own training base. You know, Gold Coast could set up at Port Melbourne and it would just be for the Suns. You know, Port Adelaide could set up at Sandringham, it'd just be for Port Adelaide. So lots of different scenarios getting thrown around, but Melbourne, I mean, it won't please the eight clubs that have to come here, of course, for however long it might be the best option out of them all.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Pretty big rugby league story that is evolving as we speak.
Yeah, fittingly, the Storm are involved in this, and I only say that because, how's the irony, it's a real storm sweeping the NRL at the moment, Dwayne. Now, they've released a statement, the Melbourne Storm, saying they support the earlier sentiments put out by the NRL and the RLPA, which obviously concern now the social media posts over the weekend of the Storm winger Josh Addo-Carr. Now, Storm declining to comment publicly today. We've gone to them. They're citing the police investigation, the need for process to unfold, which is fair enough. But they've said in a statement, our expectation is that players and staff will act as role models and support community measures taken to eradicate COVID-19. Now, New South Wales Police, NRL, they're both investigating Addo-Carr along with Latrell Mitchell, Tyrone Roberts-Davis from Newcastle as well. They did appear to ignore strict coronavirus lockdown laws. We know in New South Wales, Dwayne, people can only leave the house for work, essential shopping, personal exercise, medical appointments and compassionate visits. But these NRL players were at a campfire, they're riding motorbikes, they were shooting at Mitchell's farm up there in Taree as well, all uploaded to Instagram. So, interestingly enough, Addo-Carr has defended his actions somewhat, saying, and he spoke to the Daily Telegraph this morning, Dwayne, and he said he was with family, he was with his cousins, two of his uncles, and that it was a cultural gathering and learning about living off the land. So, he's come right out with offence being the best form of defence, it would seem.
Yeah, the cultural, spiritual, religious theory is one that the NRL is now exploring, even though society has been exploring it for the last month, with some people stepping outside the parameters and saying they've got a justification for it. Sam, can't wait to have a chat to you tomorrow to find out what comes from this CEOs and presidents get together. So it's going to be pretty interesting space. Keep on keeping on. Love your work.
Thanks a lot, Dwayne. You too.
Sam Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now. Going to have a chat to Alistair Lynch after the 2 o'clock news. So looking forward to having a chat to Lynchy. I'll throw that question of goal kicking at Lynchy as well. But wouldn't mind having a chat to the great Alistair Lynch. He's up there in Queensland. He's been playing golf. Whether the umpiring might actually be better with no crowds, because they won't be swayed by any crowd factor, that noise of affirmation, as Alan Richardson called it. Whether goal kicking might be better and whether the Suns might be more competitive if they've got a heap of home games on their deck as well, which might be good for the AFL and a heap of other stuff. The 1980s was a decade of change from the way the game was played, coached, watched and reported. And to celebrate and commemorate the AFL record, giving fans the chance to wind back the clock with the release of Great Footy Decades 1980s in digital version. All thanks to Kasha, Great Footy Decades 1980s digital edition, just $1.99 at afl.com.au or on the AFL app, or sen.com.au or the SEN app. We'll talk some tennis and some footy and take some of your calls next.